What's up, Fool Podcast?
What's up? God damn. Is he wearing a dress?
Fuck what you heard. Slaughter is back, people. They've been training for 2 years now.
Training.
And they've been getting outfits. These motherfuckers bought a tour bus before getting actual tour. They got a fucking van with all the equipment. They got a drummer. They got two guitarists. They got a female guitarist. They got Martina. I wouldn't even say lead vocals, just vocals. And, man, I don't know what they're doing up there, man, but they got a people showing up to their shows.
They're slaughtering.
I think their first album should be called Slaughter Before Slaughter, the band that I really wanted to be good.
Pandemonium.
It's pretty pandemonium. Martino over there wearing a skirt and shit with a fucking training bra.
A kilt? Or is it a skirt? Like a tutu?
It's boxers.
It looks like a tranny with a...
No, it's boxers, but he has no ass, so it looks like a fucking kilt.
The face with a fist.
And he had makeup on.
Whoa.
They're playing at Harvell's.
I didn't know which one was...
Because no one else will have them. Fuck what you heard.
God damn, put your little fucking... devil horns up.
That's like the only like those. I think no man. That's probably the first time I heard the song. You heard all the songs?
No, I just heard the ones that were posted on Slaughter Before Slaughter's Instagram page.
So Martin and who else is doing it?
I know Tanya Estrada is in the band. From what I've seen, I didn't know she was.
She used to be in a band with
Biff. No,
with the black. Remember that black dude that plays the mayor of in Back to the Future.
Yeah,
she was in a band with him.
You know the mayor. Wow.
She was in a band with Biff. Hey?
No, in Back to the Future, when at the diner, the guy who's sweeping the floor, and he's the black guy who's sweeping the floor, and then later he becomes the mayor in the future.
Yeah,
remember that?
Got a social.
You remember?
Yeah.
So okay,
she was in a band with him.
She was his girlfriend, and she was in a band with him.
A metal band as well.
Metal band, yeah.
Is it metal?
Or is this folk?
Yeah,
folk.
Like Jewel type music.
Hey Emma, do we have the video up? I can't find it.
So what's up,
Fool? What's up, Fool Podcast? What's up, people, man? Oh man, I'm already having an awesome ass week, man. I was in a movie yesterday.
Yeah,
I worked on
it.
A movie yesterday
with the Phantom.
With the Phantom, with fucking Billy
Zane.
Billy Zane, man.
Damn,
Bassmaster.
Bassmaster and Bassmaster.
He legally changed his name to Bassmaster.
That's his name right now?
That's his last name now.
He's like Nicky Six then, huh?
It was like Rodriguez or something before.
Rodriguez?
Yeah, like Eduardo or Edwin.
That fool's
Rodriguez.
Latino, dog?
Yeah.
Dude, I was looking.
Puerto Rican.
I used to look at that fool. I'm all, dude, that fool's either Italian or some type of plantain, dog.
Plantain?
Plantains are like, they go southern Guatemala, El Salvador, Chile.
I never heard that word.
It's because Vinny's mom's Puerto Rican, so every time we would see a Puerto Rican dude or a Cuban dude, well, hey, fool, there's a plantain because they eat bananas.
She would say that?
Huh?
She would say that?
No, we would say that laughing and shit. And every time she would make a steak and platanos, we'd go,
you're saying plantain.
No, but it's plantain, but we
always. Why did she say plantain?
No, we would say plantain on the side, in the back, laughing.
Plantains!
Well, make us some plantains, and she would go make them. Yes, plantains. So that fool's a Latino? That's cool, dog.
Yeah, but he didn't. I don't think he identifies as like.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't seem. He just seems like some white dude. I don't know.
He is as Latino as Paulo Francisco.
In the city.
I think Paulo
one man, one desire.
I have no idea.
I never learned Spanish.
Just summer.
But this guy did change his last name.
Paulo Francisco takes Spanish classes.
He did change his last name to Bassmaster.
I know more words than tortillas.
Even that fool was talking about he wanted to learn Spanish. I want to learn Spanish. My real name's Damien. In the city.
You have to fight to stay alive.
Yeah, it was cool seeing your niece at the Spanish show last night because I said, you understand this? And she said, about 75-80%.
That's cool, man.
Because I know she doesn't really speak it, but she understands it, of course, because she was raised by her
and your
Spanish-speaking
grandmother.
Yeah. Talking. Shout out to Rodrigo Torres for Viva Los Chistes at the Arts Center, Riverside.
Life Arts Center.
Yeah, man. It was a $15 show to get in, man. If you got missed out, you should have been there. Danny Franny was there.
Danny Frank.
and his twin who lived in Eagle Rock.
Victor from Eagle Rock. Look like brothers, huh?
They're like brother, bro. Like Slim and Jim.
Slim and Jim. What are those brothers? Those brothers in wrestling? The Bushwhackers?
The Bushwhackers.
They look like the clean version of those fools.
Yeah, man.
Remember those weird guys in the late 80s, early 90s? The Kipper kids? And they had big chins. And they were like, they looked just like those
Bushwhackers?
Bushwhackers. They weren't Bushwhackers. It was Kipper kids. It was some. I think it was a British show or something.
Hello, mate.
Like they were weird looking guys with real long chins. There were prosthetic chins on their faces.
Swedish.
I don't remember that one.
Okay.
You have fun on stage, Will?
Yeah, man. I was nervous, but there. What helped me was that I've been doing the same set in the same way, not changing it. So when I went up on stage, I just remember how to do it. I just did it in Spanish. Oh, wow. No, I don't remember them, but it was like fucking Brody Stevens.
Yeah, that's kind
of fun. I'm back.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a good set, dude. It was really, really fucking good, dude. I was fucking really tripping on how people were responding, too.
Because me, too.
I was going like, dude, are these fools going to correct us? Or are they going to? But, dude, it fucking flowed like gravity, dog. It was tight.
Damn.
The Cookie Monster killed it, fool.
The Cookie Monster.
So those guys were wrestlers?
No, they just, I don't know what they were.
It was like a duo,
I guess it was supposed to be comedy. It was not funny. Not funny.
They had more chin in Asia.
I never watched them. I watched them once and I just didn't get it. And so I never watched their show.
Like Andy Kaufman
or
something? It was
like Showtime or HBO or something like that.
Like the Flight of the Conchords before their time, huh?
Possibly.
But yeah, man.
What's up? Fool, what's up, fool? Shout out to everybody that came out to our show in Charlotte, North Carolina. So many people showed up from City Terrace, East Los Angeles, and Pomona. Representing.
Relocated to the South, huh, fool?
Yeah, man. I'm trying to remember if I ate any good food.
Oh, that time.
But you ate a big ass chicharron.
The Charlotte.
That was good at the Colombian restaurant.
Lady Gogo's.
Yeah, she hooked it up, dog.
Yeah, Lady Gogo's.
Yvette.
Shout out to Lady Gogo's.
No, Yvonne. That's her
name. Brought some fucking bomb ass vegan chuleta tortas, horchata. That shit was fucking bomb. And then we still had enchilada, which I didn't taste. How were they?
The enchilada was good. They're even good cold. I ate them in the morning.
Damn. And the carne asada and the jackfruit tacos were bomb. We also met a comedian out there who lives in a van. Some comedian named Alvis Muich. Alvis Muich or Muich.
Muich.
That was from Bosnia. Originally from Detroit. Bosnian comedian. He came up to do it like 5 minutes. Killed that shit. So this fool, man, if you want to look him up, his name is Alvis Muich, which is spelled M-U-I-C-H, I think. Alvis Muich. And if you got like dark comedy, like real dark comedy, this is your guy, you know, for a quick 5 minutes.
Is he like Jason Rouse type?
Not as, I would say,
not
older.
As hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he can definitely get dark.
Well, this guy, man.
You said kind of like Neil Hamburger.
Little yeah, like,
yeah, you know, a little like subtle. Hamburger.
So this guy walks into a, this guy, it's like a joke. This guy walks into a Waffle House.
Homeless.
So he walks into a Waffle House, right? And he talks to the people there, like the manager, and he goes, hey, my name is Alvis Muich. I'm a comedian from Bosnia. There it is, Muich, which is, M-U-G-I-C.
Yeah, M-U-G-I-C with an accent over the C.
Alvis, M-U-G-I-C, right?
J-I-C.
M-U-J-I-C with music.
Dang. Yeah, and you can follow him on Instagram at Alvis Comedy.
Well, this fool walks into a coffee, like a fucking Waffle House, and he talks to the manager there. Hey, and he plugs in his own boombox, his own microphone, and he does stand-up comedy like at Waffle Houses, like in the middle of the night. And also during the day, he walks into a fucking homeless shelters, like homeless shelters, and asks whoever's in charge if he could go in there and perform for the homeless people. And he also goes to Vietnam shelters with Vietnam vets, hospitals, veterans hospitals, and wherever they are, VFWs. And he just does that, man. Like, nobody gives him no, you know, he probably takes a little basket. to pay. But anyways, shout out to that fool. He lived in a van. He's sober.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, he made a big mistake, man. He brought somebody from the VFW with him.
He brought a soldier dog.
Kidnapped.
That was rogue.
So this fool.
He looked like the Nuge.
He left his house behind, first of all, because they live in a van. Yeah. He brought this guy who's an idiot. He goes, so I asked that guy, so what do you do for a living? He goes, I used to be a bodyguard. I said, bodyguard? Who'd you protect? The United States of America.
Missing a tooth, dog.
I put Albert to the side and I put, come here, man. Let me tell you something, man. This guy heckles one time. Like, if he opens his mouth during the show, he is fucking out of here. Out of here.
Give him the boot.
Out of here.
I know it's weird, like, to be mad at somebody that you're give supposed a fuck, you're to a veteran. Be like revere.
I don't give you a fuck.
No, I know.
I don't give a fuck if you're a veteran, eh? If you don't act like a civil person in person, or I don't give a fuck what you did, man. You gotta act like a person. You gotta act right.
Yeah. Came in like a cowboy. Yeah.
Came in like a cowboy. Yeah. All stupid.
Yeah. And where's the beers at?
The hat.
Oh, where the beers at?
Get the fuck out of here. We don't know your name.
I like how the waiter cut out right away. Like,
yeah.
Everybody took orders. I'll take a Bud Light. Then the waiter looks at him. All right, so when you go sit on your seat, I'll get your Bud Light.
And then he came back off. Is he on your tab for the green room?
Fuck no.
Hell no, dog. Charge him for everything.
Charge that food double, eh?
You didn't pay to get in, dog.
He did 18 years of lines, bro.
Hey, oh well, come God. On. Dude. He was out there partying and doing cocaine, dog. He wasn't protecting the fucking army. He said he was protecting the Marines. That was his job.
He was in the army protecting the Marines?
Dude, he looked like somebody's fucking uncle that fucking fell out of a plane.
He looked like somebody that picked up an army jacket somewhere and put it on.
I'm just not thinking stolen valor.
Yeah, and he had fatigues. Like, he was all like a trashy guy. Yeah. Like,
and first of all, man.
But he was in the VFW? He found him in the VFW?
And probably vain, too, because his hair was dark as fuck. Like, Willie Barcetta would have said, bro, what color is that?
It's like, dude, you're 65. Your hair's not that black. Dude, look at mine, dude. I'm 40, dog. Come on, you're killing me.
Yeah, he got two beers in quick.
And missing, like, and he has one of those long-ass teeth. He was missing a tooth, a horse tooth. I was like, you are not a bodyguard, dude.
At the end of the show, they were kicking him out. He said, follow me on Facebook.
He was all acting like he worked for Blackwater or something.
His name was Tony Schneider.
Oh, man.
Made up name, Tony Schneider, dog. Come on, fool. That's a TV name, dog.
That was his name, right?
That's what he said he was, his name.
Oh, the vet?
And he did it like Schneider Tony from Schneider. Peace Company.
No, one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Man, he looked like a beat up Nuge, Ted Nugent.
Yeah, man, he was just crazy.
Oh,
man, there was
his fucking hands were huge. And he sounded like, like fucking catcher's mitts.
Yeah, that fool looked like he's packing,
like,
dog.
Like his finger was too big to fit in the trigger.
Yeah. Old dick fingers, dog. That's one of those fools that a little roach crawls out of his jacket off. He looked like that, dog.
Yeah, man. He's the kind of dude, bro, that rolls his own cigarettes out.
Exactly, dude.
And still puts a filter.
He's like one of those dudes that you play to clean up your yard because you feel sorry for him, and then he never does the work, dog. Just takes the 20 bucks.
Or like one of those dudes, bro, when you meet his mom, you know, my son's no veteran.
He's like one of those fools that always had an odd job, Havo.
He stole that jacket from a surplus store. I had to go in there and pay for it.
Spit Shines Propellers or something.
Look at the fool who lied, dog.
Dude, yeah, everybody lied, fool.
Lie.
You don't even know who's telling you the truth anymore.
First of all, man, a veteran, a real veteran, is not going to be wearing his medals still, like, acting crazy.
I can't believe with his purple heart, awful. George W. gave it to
me. That's what a letter from Clinton, bro. Like the one, like Samuel Jackson had one in fucking that movie, bro.
Crazy Eight, or, yeah, Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight. He goes,
a notarized document.
So Lincoln wrote you a letter. I'm the new sheriff of Red Rock. Yeah, bro.
Move over.
That's kind of fool that have a fake letter, bro. Like, yeah, George Bush himself wrote me a letter and thanked me personally for the service. Let me see that fucking letter. It's all good thing. I wish there was more time in the day.
Oh, my God.
I got to end this letter now. I see Mrs. Bush calling me now.
I got my sandwich ready. Well, come
just
on.
Lie, dog.
That Xerox signature, dog. It wasn't even a fucking pen, dude.
I talked to a homeless guy one time. That first day he had 9 purple hearts, bro. I didn't even know they gave that many,
though. Well, you can only get one.
You can only get nine.
What is he, a cat for?
And I was like, really? Wow. Me and my friend were impressed. My friend joined the army. Shout out to George Vasquez.
Be all you can. Oh, he really joined the army, fool?
Fuck yeah, his whole life, bro.
Oh, my God. He's a career fucking soldier. That fool,
we used to play guns. That fool used to come up with a replica, bro.
God damn. So he was on ROTC fool, before ROTC.
We used to play guns. That fool would come up with a replica 45 in his pocket and a fucking real sword like the Civil War.
What the fuck, dog? Glory over here? Fucking mixed with tombstones?
Trying to kill people?
I'm your Huckleberry. Fuck out of here,
a
dog.
Sword?
That fool, there was a rat in his house, and that fool tried to shoot with a BB gun. Fucking pallet fucking flying all over the house, dog.
He made his grandma blind, dude? Oh, my God, dude. Fucking people. But he...
What's up, fool? Shout out to everybody who came last night. We did a Spanish show.
Crazy,
busted
huh?
out 40 Ooh. Minutes, man. I think by the time I film the special, I'll be ready, bro.
Dude, it looked crisp last night, dude. And fucking, I was really surprised by the fucking interaction of the crowds. They were digging that shit, dog. Everybody's fucking proud as fuck, dog.
Happy, huh?
Yeah. Dude, they were like into it, dog.
I think that's crazy, what I, people all over America are going to like it. Like, they'll be like, you know what, eh? Finally, somebody from here does a special in Spanish. That's the motherfucker from, not to say they're bad.
Right.
But somebody representing us Mexican or us Latinos here in America.
How we grew up, how we are, dude. It's like, dude, everybody wants to fucking import a Latino, dog. We're already here, dog. Not to be a dick, dude, but, and everybody in Mexico wants to be like the U.S. anyway, so it's like, what the fuck, dog? We're already here.
Not about the hee-hee and the ha-ha, pa-pa.
You know what I'm saying? Cocksucker, we got punchlines.
So it's in a movie, bro.
Yeah, what's the title of the movie? Is it still a working title?
Guest book. No. Guest house.
Guest house. Okay. A lot of guest houses in L.A., huh?
Bro, that fucking house we shot in was fucking badass.
Where was it at? Full in the valley? Undisclosed location.
Somewhere in Los Angeles, bro. I forgot how we got there. But, dude, like, there was a front house, which I didn't go inside of. But the back house was fucking huge, bro. Four bedrooms in the back house.
That was a back house?
A backyard, dude, okay?
What the front house is a manor.
Yeah, and man, it was like, because there was like a big, giant, rectangular pool, and there was a front house. And then the other side of the pool, right, when you go into the pool, was the back house. And they had like a sliding door. They had their own yard in the back, too.
Damn, dude.
We filmed there, dog. Fucking rich ass fool who lived there. And I was talking to some fool outside.
Wealth, huh, fool?
A fan outside, bro. That fool packed a fat ass bowl when I was leaving. I said, all right. So he worked in construction, bro. Little ass cholo, bro, in charge of 7 paisas, bro.
Damn. Doing it, dog.
Bro, they're fucking hammering, bro. Fool, they went over there. They told that fool, man, can you like shut down the hammering? Bro, I got a hammer. I'm doing a job. We'll give you $200. Click.
Just drop.
How long they stop hammering for?
For 30 minutes. Because I went outside, right? I was talking to him, right? And I said, hey, homie, I heard they gave you $500 to fucking turn out that fucking jackhammer. Shale, homie, they only gave me two, homie. But that fool let me inside a house that they're building. Damn, dude. They knocked down like an old beat up. The houses that used to be in the neighborhood used to be ranch style, like mine.
Yeah.
Like flat on a slit. So they knocked them all down, dude. Now they're like all like picturesque, you know, very chic. Fondue. Fenchois.
The architecture or whatever.
Fenchois, where everything, like there's water, everything matches. Badass home, dude. Like maybe like $2 million homes.
Already functioned out. Shit.
Johnny Rocker looked like Santana in 1969. He is, bro. He's the master right now. When is the next show in Spanish? The next show in Spanish will be this Saturday in
San Diego
at the Palace, Comedy Palace in San Diego. Get your tickets. Tickets are, I think, $15. Pretty decent, right? We're going to check that out. That's funny, man. I don't know if I'm going to do after the special. Let's see what's up. If we were to do more English shows, more Spanish shows, what you think of Ed Bassmaster? That fool's all right, bro. 867 followers. He's my friend. A lot of influence in the movie, bro.
Yeah. And who put that movie together? It's
Pauly Shore helped cast people.
Oh, okay.
Oh, shit.
Shout out to Pauly Shore, man. That fool got me in the movie, bro. I didn't have to audition.
Okay, oh, that's sweet.
I was going to get a longer role, but I couldn't commit to it because we had to do that show in Riverside and then do another show on Saturday.
And how was it working with Billy Zane, fool?
Easy, bro. That fool went from fist bumping me to fisting me. Nah, taking my hand.
Titanic style.
Yeah, bro. I was reminiscing all his movies, bro. I wanted to talk to him, bro. I probably touched him at the rap party, bro.
Hey.
Boy, my favorite scene in that movie ever was in that movie Posse, bro. When they have like Black Cowboys, Mario Van Peebles,
damn,
DMX.
The 90s.
And a bunch of other fools, right? And then that dude that used to be in the real world, a different world with Bill Cosby, they fucking had a... Well, anyways, Billy Zane, like a cowboy, like a Confederate, and he had a cup. He goes, man, you know old Richard over there, but that's not his name. He's part of the Mestizo tribe. And they're like, aren't you from the Mestizo tribe? Yeah. And he clicks on the cup, and he goes, Mestizo?
Oh, damn, like that.
Badass movie, bro. Badass movie.
Hell yeah.
Damn. What's up, fool?
How you doing, brother?
Good.
How was it?
See you at the mall.
Yeah. Then the Galleria.
Yeah.
That's how you guys met the first time?
Always.
Yeah, bro. I always remember comedians by their favorite jokes. My favorite joke. And you had a big family because I have a big family. 7 kids in my family.
Uh-huh.
We were our own toys. Remember? I don't know if it was you or Rodney Dangerfield had a joke that said that we were so poor, we would go to our neighbor's house and wear their clothes and go as them.
That's funny.
I think it was you or Rodney?
That was Rodney. I had...
You had that funny one. And a gentleman... Anthony Griffith in the house. Anthony Griffith in the house.
Chicago's finest.
Griffith is his professional name. Yeah. Griffin was his birth name.
Yeah. Slave name.
He didn't want to be the Griffin.
You know what? No, the reason there's a Tony Griffin.
Yeah.
Who was Merv Griffin's son.
Oh.
And I had to get permission, and he wouldn't give it to me. Because he said, hey, I might get a sitcom. So that's why he never gave me.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
Damn, people are greedy even before this shit takes off, huh?
Yes, yes.
God damn. Yes.
So I was Anthony Van Griffin. I was,
Griffin.
I was everything, you know, and the manager said, hey, you know. Yeah. So that's a little insight.
Somebody say Griffin from Family Guy. You know, my first joke was back in the day was, he goes, man, we were so poor, man. One time, my mom and dad bought us only one walkie-talkie.
Yes.
And I hold it one hand, be like, hey, it's me, Anthony, where you at? They get the other hand, I'm right here.
Right, to my brother, yeah.
That's funny, dude.
What's up, fool?
What's up?
Evening at the Improv, bro.
Yes,
the Improv.
Yes.
And Comedy Central Pepsi.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that,
you know,
Pepsi
with the
hour.
The Reno half hour.
Whatever,
yeah. Evening at the Improv, I looked back, and on the show also was George
Lopez, yeah.
And I didn't know him at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, there was also A&E, the Comedy on the Road with Jeff Valdez. Another one on a lot of shows back then.
Wait, Jeff had something on A&E back then?
Jeff Valdez started off, he had Comedy on the Road that he produced with another guy, and he had Carlos Mencia on the show. Wow. And then he went to Comedy Compadres on...
Fox, man.
It was on fucking Channel 5.
KTLA.
KTLA. Yeah. It came out every Thursday at 10.
Okay, and then they would play. Yeah. I remember they would play the reruns right before Culture Clash or something, right?
I don't know why they didn't catch on. And then
you had a lot of stuff in L.A.
And then
we didn't have anything like that in Ohio.
And then he got to when Dave Chan was popular. Jeff Valdez, Paul Rodriguez, Nelly Galan did Comedy Picante, Comedy Local Slam. And it was too close to Def Jam, man. Because even Paul Rodrigo would come out and say,
at the end, right? Like Russell Simmons. It was a little weird. Mattia was hosting. Eh?
And then I guess Latino comedians are not really known to be vulgar, you know, or very vulgar, yeah. Nasty.
Not Def Jam.
They were telling the comedian, go out there and say a couple of fucks. And give me a couple of shit jokes, please. They wanted them to be raw, but nobody was getting raw.
I couldn't get on Def Jam.
Shut up.
Because
you weren't raw?
Right.
Wow.
And they would say, come on, come on.
They said, we already got Warren Hutchinson, sorry.
Right. Dude, people always say, hey, man, I love your, I said, that's not me, man. And then they just walk away because they thought I was Warren.
Yeah.
And also, you did The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson originally as well, right?
Yep. Did you just sit down?
No. But after the first show, he said, in the parking lot, I like you. I'm going to bring you back. So, but even before my manager, he said, I like you. Work on stuff. I'm bringing you back.
His manager 3 months later, guess what? I got you on the Tonight Show.
Right. I was working on it.
Right.
Eating a bagel.
Right.
A craft server, bro. Stealing food. Right. Did you ever have one of those managers? Like, God damn, like, this motherfucker stealing food.
Right.
Like, your manager took a nap while you were taping something. She was in the green room napping. Nap
during my show. She took a nap during Joy Medina.
Her other client, yeah.
Speaking of that show, I was up late at night, like after I was packing, it was like 3 in the morning, Comedy.com came on.
Comedy.tv, one of the Byron Allen shows.
That was a show that we taped that many years ago, 2009.
Yeah.
And that was Joy Medina set. That's fun. And he was doing the old top ramen bit. Yeah. It was fun, you know.
And another show that was L.A. was Comic Strip Live.
Love that show.
Yes. That started at the
Lab Factory.
Right.
Wow.
The host was, Will something. The host was the guy, the comedian too.
Not Will Schreiner,
but close enough.
I like Will Schreiner.
We could just say Will Schreiner.
Nobody knows.
But that's what made Lab Factory what it was.
Really?
Because it was just a hole in the wall.
Wow, man. Wow. Who made that deal, bro? Hey, buddy. Fox, comedy, Fraser Smith.
They hitched their wagon.
Also, what helped though, I think Fraser Smith was hot too on the radio. That's true. Radio personality.
Yeah.
And to have him as a host. But that show was popular, bro.
Really, dude?
It was popular, man. You never saw it.
I watched it in Ohio. It aired every Strip Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It aired on Saturday mornings.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't watch on Saturday.
Wow, man.
And then Jay Masala, they didn't have those Comic Strip Live, and it was just comedy on Keller West at midnight. And they would show all the comedians live on the radio.
They had a different setup on Comic Strip Live, didn't they? Like, the bar was not back where it is now.
No.
Right? It was, like, up in the front.
It was just
a little
hole in the wall. Yeah.
Did you ever perform in Long Beach? That used to be a Long Beach comedy club, right?
No. I only performed there.
Ice House?
With the Laugh Factory.
Mm-hmm. Never the Ice House?
Always the Ice House.
Because I remember
Ice House used to rock.
It was packed back in the day, bro.
If you sucked at the Ice House.
If anybody ever has a bad set at the Ice House, you suck.
Right.
You're a security guard now, Universal Studios.
There is no way you can fail in that room.
Right.
First time I went up there, I thought it was an arena. I was like, are these guys for me? Goddamn. Yes.
Yeah.
You are driving a tram now.
Dude.
The funniest guy.
I'll fucking walk with Ricochet in there.
Finally, one time, Joy Medina said that he was going to, you know Joy Medina? Comedian?
That was
desperate, man. Like, when we first met, he was crazy.
He's Hollywood desperate.
This fool was talking, when he first wrote Matador, that fool said that he was going to get on a tram, jump off it, and pass it on and put it out everywhere, dog.
The script?
Yeah. Get on the tram. Universal Studios tram.
Oh, we found this brilliant script.
You're going to run into Jerry Bruckheimer? Is he in there or something?
We're going to put it everywhere, like on people's beach cruisers, sneak into people's office, just drop it off.
I heard Don Simpson's office is over here.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking lunatic, dude.
Here. Oh, we found this. It's so good. We have to make it.
I was with my son and his family. They came to visit from New York, and I have Philip. And then the person was telling a tour, like, why are we shot? Get like, we shot whatever, Bionic Woman, Lee Majors, whatever it was, Knight Rider. And Joey Medina told me, I had an audition over there. Right. Really, Theo, right there? Yeah, right there. I ran for Simon and Simon right there.
Simon.
Whatever.
Simon and Simon.
It's funny, right? The way we see Hollywood here, because we live here, but everybody from out of town, they think you made it.
When Compton was huge, when gangster rap was huge. My family in Chicago, every time they came, hey man, can we go to Compton? And I would go, wait, we got Compton in Chicago. We got projects, we got shootings in Chicago. But they wanted us to go Compton.
It was really hype back then. I mean, yeah. Straight Outta Compton came out in 1988.
Yeah.
Wow.
People want to jump out of the car and take a picture in Echo Park.
I took some land home. Wow, dude. Compton, the fame of Compton, dog.
That's how I felt when my brother came here with his wife and they wanted to see Hollywood, like the Walk of Fame and stuff. And I was like, all right. So I take him over there and they're just like, that's a lot of homeless people. I know. There's a lot of begging.
You've seen the grit?
There's a lot of drug use over here.
As soon as he wakes up, we're going to see Michael Jackson star.
Right?
We're going to step on a needle.
Pass some change.
Wow, dude. Well, even my uncle, when he came, he was like, we had a limo for him to see Beverly Hills, but he went past, saw Fat Burger, and the liquor store was like, I'm set. So we canceled Beverly Hills and just always Fat Burger and liquor store. He was happy. That was his L.A. moment, Hollywood moment.
Are they all from Chicago or they're from the South? You're from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
What part?
South side.
you grew up in the project?
I started there.
What projects out there?
They're not there anymore.
Because what? Like, I know they have like Cabrini Green. They have like Robert Taylor homes out there.
Right. And they're all gone.
Torn down. Wow.
No, those expensive condos.
They what's the word?
Gentrified. Yeah.
So all of that is now college. And rich people, yeah.
And everybody went to the suburbs to Rosemont.
Right. Yeah. They froze to the suburbs, and then they stopped buses stopping at a certain time, so you can't get back.
Oh, that sucks, man, when they started doing that.
What was that?
Well, they prevent you from getting back to the neighborhood after a certain hour. It's like a way to force poor people to get out of your neighborhood. You know?
Out of the city?
Yeah, out of wherever they don't want you to be, suburbs or what? Yeah, usually suburbs.
Because the white people in the suburbs said, "Hey, we're tired of being in the suburbs. We want to go into the city, live in the city, play in the city, live by the lake." So they said, "Okay." So they switched it.
Yeah.
Now all the people in the projects are in the suburbs, but they can't get back in.
Because that's what's happening now with the cities. Because we were talking about Detroit, and Detroit's like they wanted to basically like get rid of the city of Detroit and just have the suburbs kind of come in and swallow the city, and just become all just a neighborhood, basically, not have any suburbia, but just this have like a park area instead of what was the major downtown area.
The metropolis.
That was like what the idea was. But then a lot of young people are coming in. They want to live in these cities and they want to live in the, like downtown LA became the same way. Downtown LA was nothing until like hipsters were starting to come in and wanted to live in an apartment in the city. And then that was the thing. And it wasn't about going to the suburbs anymore and buying a house.
We're just in
Chicago is very much like that too. With
we're all the just performing at the Charlotte. What's the name of that?
Comedy Zone.
Yeah.
And that whole area is like, you know, it used to be shit. They were telling me that people that worked there were telling me, nah, man, right there by a hotel room with prostitutes. Prostitutes around the cemetery here was all crack, but now they have like brand new condos. Mm-hmm. They have bikes you can rent.
Chick-fil-A's, all those like all the trendy stores that everybody fucking sees in every other little shopping center. All there, trippy man, cookie cutter.
Yep.
You couldn't walk here at night.
Hell no. But now you
can. Oh, shut up. We went to Charlotte, man, and we saw the Confederate monument there. For the Confederate soldiers.
No, it's the Confederate cemetery, funeral, right?
The Confederate cemetery.
That's weird.
Because there was a regular cemetery for everybody else, and then they had a cemetery just for the Confederates. But you couldn't read their names. They were all facing something, facing the monument. You get to salute. Hmm. And there was one person we found that was actually a slave in that Charlotte. We just knew because everybody had a date they were born. This guy was died around 75.
Right. Guesstimate.
Yeah, they don't know.
But they don't know.
He had a big one. Like he was like he had a big stone too.
Is that the one with the poem or whatever?
Yeah,
or
his last name was Moore. Yeah, M-O-O-R-E. And it said
from his master.
It said that
whatever.
He was a slave. Yeah. To loyal servant.
Yes.
And blah 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 blah.
Yeah, and he had cared for him, and he. So this was like his gift.
So he's in the same plot as everybody else.
Yeah, weird.
There's some fucking plots there for like people that are from fucking 1901 and to 1970, man. Like, fuck that, man. Me, man, burn me, bro. Burn me and throw me in Venice Beach.
Yeah, I have a few uncles and nephews who say just, aunts and...
We saw your last name too in Charlotte and over there. Yeah, Griffin and Griffith.
Yeah. Well, Griffith is a mythological
lion.
Beast. Yeah.
That flies.
A griffin.
That's a griffin? Oh,
yes. Yeah. And Griffin to be is a video just game. Somebody's been on drugs.
It used to be a video game. I don't know if it was called Griffith, but it was like a flying thing, and it shot arrows with a dude on top. I'm only saying it because the devil used to have a video game in his house.
You thinking of Joust? Joust. That's one of the best video games ever.
But it was a Griffith, right?
It was a Griffin. No, those were ostriches. They were flying.
Oh, that was a Peter Griffith.
bird.
So and I always got confused with Eddie Griffin.
Yeah. Because oh. It's funny you say that because I always confused you with the other comedian who's real clean too. And never confused him with the other comedian who's not so clean who passed away. And they have the same name. One was a little baby. Mm-hmm. He don't have our special. He did like a little baby special. Like he used to do his sweater like this and then talk like that. And he put on a little hat. And then he'll put on big old glasses and be his grandfather.
Damn.
And he died.
Characters.
Huh?
He died?
No, he's alive.
Oh, okay.
Who's the one who died?
Who's the one who died?
You said one of them passed away. The other, he looked like this other guy who passed. Remind me of this other guy who passed away.
You lost me there. I'm still trying to figure out this guy. Oh, no. The one who died with baby kids.
Oh, you're talking about Robin Harris.
Yeah,
Ralph.
Okay.
You're talking
Ralph
about
Harris.
Ralph Harris.
Robin
he was
Harris.
Clean.
Oh, we figured it out.
Now, wait.
So you
Robin
him.
Harris is not was not clean.
Right,
no,
right.
Hell he no.
No, he's
from
saying,
Chicago.
From yeah. Chicago.
South side.
Yeah. South
side. He's saying you remind him of Ralph.
Ralph
is clean.
It's clean and still here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he does cruise ships.
Yes. He's Farley.
Yes.
He had he did character. He did like a little boy.
Yes.
He did a mom and he'll put on his glasses.
And be his grandfather.
You're talking about baby's kids. Yeah.
No, Ralph Harris.
You're talking about Ralph. Okay, yes.
He was at the Laugh Factory last week.
Oh, wow.
I walked up. Sometimes you come out of the airport, you see a comic that you grew up with, but you're so tired you don't remember their names. So I saw him and goes, funny guy. And he said, you too. And he walked away.
Right.
So, man, when I get bored on a plane, Anthony, I just turn on my phone.
Yeah.
And I start looking at people and calling them celebrities that they're not. Right? So I say, oh, this guy. If I don't know him, oh, James Gandolfini is here.
Hey.
Over here we have fucking
Santana.
John Leguizamo, whatever. The bionic woman over here. So whatever, right? So fucking this dude comes in there, man, holding like a horn section bag and curly ass hair. And I say, Yanni! And I record myself saying, Yanni!
You said it out loud to him.
And it was
though.
Kenny G.
For the real Kenny G.
But he was not sitting, but I had enough miles saved up to.
Yeah.
I was sitting in first class.
Yeah.
He wasn't, right? And he was the last fool on the fucking plane.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was thinking, you know what? Before we got on the plane, they wanted 3 volunteers. So what I think about it, there was, they said that They lied to us and told us the pain was too full. We need 3 volunteers, but all they were trying to do was get Kenny G on that plane.
Because he ended up sitting in coach, walking the coach.
Yeah. They want to give you a $600 voucher.
Bro, that fool was walking around back and forth like a maniac trying to fucking find a plane for that saxophone. Or clarinet or trombone, whatever it is.
It's a saxophone. It's a soprano saxophone.
It's a saxophone.
Yeah. But let me tell you, man.
That was a clarinet.
I'm so glad I didn't call him Weird Al Yankovic. It's Weird Al Yankovic from the Kim Kardashian video. So how bad is Kenny G doing that he can't get on a plane, bro?
It must have been a last minute thing, maybe.
It just a surprise trip.
Maybe he missed his other
flight.
Have
they ever kicked anyone off the plane to put you in a plane, Anthony?
No. But I was late for a plane. And I ran, and the plane was leaving. Pilot saw me, came back, and everybody on the flight was pissed off.
You're lying.
What?
Right, because he came back, and I walked in, then everybody says, and I what's up, fool?
And that's pre-9/11?
That was pre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Wow. Now...
No. Hell. Right. Get the hell to the nah. That's
fine. So you started at Comedy Cottage and then Zany's? Like those were your places in Chicago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in Chicago, you had a lot of one-niners. A lot of... on the right, you had Wisconsin. On the left, you had Wisconsin. On the right, you had Indiana. Mm-hmm. So you could work constantly to find out your crowd, find out your style, and all like that.
How long did it take you to find your style? What you wanted to do?
You know.
Or the crowd made you decide you?
You know, it was interesting because you had the comedy club in the white area. You had the black lounges in the where the brothers were. So, you know, when I went to the brothers, they were going, man, you corny. They were, man, you corny. Because I didn't cuss. Toby.
Yeah. I don't even like what you saying how you saying it.
Because.
Why you acting like those people?
Right. Because they you're corny. Plus, they smoking, they drinking, they picking up women. All that was new to me. I was like.
It's weird, right? I was hanging around with Gene Pompa. And I've always tell you, man, I've always bought my clothes at Sears, bro. Or JCPenney. I've never been outside of a store called Target, JCPenney, or whatever my mom took me.
Target.
I always knew I needed underwear and socks. And you would get them, right? So here I am. You know Gene Pompa, right?
Yeah.
He's looking for shorts. Went to 10 stores to look for shorts, bro. We finally went to Abercrombie and Fitch, and he gets shorts there. And, you know, I like these clothes. So I bought a bunch of stuff, bro. A hoodie, a shirt, jeans. I bought a lot of stuff. I walked out of there with a bunch of stuff. So I'm performing on a show. Same act, by the way, right? Same cadence and everything. This fat ass lady, like this fat lady was probably 44 at the time. I was 28. She goes, why are you trying to be white with those clothes?
Man.
Why are you trying to be a surfer? Why are you going to wear like that? What is that? I put her what a dad dog.
Yeah.
She was Latina?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
What a bitch.
Don't hold back how you really feel.
But now I still don't get it, dog.
I never got it.
Well, they just have this conception of
like,
what?
Yeah. You know,
misconception.
I'm probably telling her, you know what? You should try to get on the 101 like. North and keep going. And get off right there on Canoga Avenue. And you walk around the way everyone else is dressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I learned when I moved to New York, because I moved from Ohio to New York, Dayton, Ohio, which is not a small city.
Burbank.
It's not the countryside.
My father, Xenia,
yeah, it's 30 minutes away, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not the countryside, but it's a smaller town than like L.A. or New York. But when I moved to New York, I was hoping for diversity and people who had a better, who were just, you know, more, I guess,
worldly?
Accepting and worldly. No, you can be a racist or a hillbilly mentality, even living in L.A., New York, Chicago. I've seen it.
Chicago, it's sad. Very, not to cut you off, Martin Luther King after being, you know, stoned in Chicago City. Of all the places I've been to, and I've been down south, Chicago is the most racist place because Chicago is very segregated.
And the way it's built and drawn and governed has always been that way. It's forced it to be that way.
They blew out a Mexican of Skokie.
Before Mexicans, there weren't Mexicans. There were Puerto Ricans. And it was just like, then they have their own area separate from Mexicans.
Yeah, on the north side.
Pilsen.
Yeah, Pilsen for the Mexicans, right? They pretty much stay there.
So you knew exactly in Chicago, if you wanted to go where it was Italians, you went somewhere. Yeah. Mexicans, somewhere. Gay. If you were coming out.
Boys Town.
You were coming out here. So Chicago is very segregated in that sense.
You think L.A. segregated?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
L.A. segregated.
Dude. Alhambra.
I mean, you know, you have everybody talking about they're diverse. And
they no Mexican in Agoura Hills.
Like seven.
Seven's the limit.
And how was it when you were doing stand-up back then? I mean, because you go back in the days, like, I mean, there was Steve Harvey, there's like Robin Harris. I don't know if he was doing comedy back then. Got Bernie Mac, all those people, like, you know, young.
You're a buddy, right, Bernie Mac?
I started with Bernie.
You was on Bernie, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Got this very funny brother over here. My brother. He ain't calling him, motherfucker.
And whites didn't get him. Whites were going, who was? They did not get Bernie.
Whoa.
I don't understand who. I can't understand him. But blacks loved him. And we were always close. Whenever he would come back to L.A., he would say, call me Tony. How's your SAG card? I'm going to give you, casting director's going to call you in about 5 minutes. Sure enough. So he was always Chicago through and through.
And never forgot about his people.
Were you on the Bernie Mac show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, you did a lot of TV and movie work. And you know who else did stuff like that? Throwing in friends, remembering how important it is to like keep that health insurance going and all that stuff and keeping your SAG up to date. That's so cool that he looked out for you. That Rodney Dangerfield did the same thing, and he would put his friends in movies and stuff. And
I think about Paul Julius told me that his last movie, the one before he died, the one where my ex-wives, whatever.
The last one was, he just put all his everybody, in
man. Even
Harry Basil wrote that one.
Everybody was in that movie. And then Paul Julius said, yeah, man, he was just giving everybody health insurance.
Yeah.
Hopefully the movie will do well. Everybody will get a check at the end of the year.
I feel like Adam Sandler kind of does that too with his friends, you know, and Chris Rock and David.
They are really rich.
I know, well, they are, but.
What about us?
He's keeping them eating, though.
But Tom Dreesen also does that.
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah. Dreesen's Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Southside. Southside poor.
Dude, for some reason I was thinking New York. No, wow.
Southside of Chicago.
He pretty much owns that one over there. I mean, he's a partner in that Chicago Laugh Factory. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
He was one of the leaders of the fucking comedy strike.
Oh, yeah. He was
at the comedy store.
In Hollywood. Yeah.
And he was banned. He's been banned
for life.
He broke
the picket lines, right?
Him and Elaine Boozler never got to perform again at the comedy store.
No, he started the strike.
Jeez.
Yeah, he started the strike.
Life ban.
He's totally banned from life ban. Him and Elaine Boozler never got to perform again. When they brought everybody back, and when they started paying everybody back, before everybody was performing, they're not getting paid. But everybody was performing, by the way. But once they started paying, they started kicking the riffraff out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then they started paying. And then, like, Elaine Boozler, Tom Dreesen, and then that one who committed suicide were banned for life.
Mm-hmm. Who was committed suicide?
I forgot his name, but he was a good friend. What's his name? With the long hair.
Is this the guy who did it right after his Tonight Show set?
No, that's only for the movie. That's only in the
movie. But it's the same guy. They were writing
in real life.
Okay, but they were writing about the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know his name. Was he Latino?
Mm.
Nah.
So. Jewish from New York.
Oh.
He was friends with that comedian that has real long hair. He's friends with Larry David.
Oh, fucking Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis. Yeah. Because at the end of the book, he said at the end of the book, he says that after my friend committed suicide, I went on a 25-year drug and drinking binge.
Mm-hmm. Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis, yeah.
I believe that.
Wow.
Yeah, his friend passed away. His friend, the one that committed suicide, him and Richard moved to LA together. And when that guy was like, not a veteran, but you know, like when you first start doing comedy and you meet somebody, it takes you under the wing. That guy took Richard under his wing, but Richard became more successful.
Was that,
who took you under your wing? Or who took you under their wing?
You know, who I always liked, who was real cool on the road, was Shirley Hemphill.
Yeah.
Very funny. Very funny. And she would always, you know, you had lunch, pay for your lunch. Yeah. So she was cool.
She's funny, man.
Yeah.
She was on the best of Def Jam tape that I would bust out after sex when anybody was with me.
Yes.
And then Cheryl Underwood was on it. I think it was the best of the best because everybody on that thing is fucking rich or famous. Warren Hutchinson's on it. Chris Tucker. Martin Lawrence is hosting. And that guy that goes down and that goes, watch out now.
J. Anthony Brown.
And Cheryl Underwood. Cheryl Underwood was fun. You know,
very funny.
Kind of money. Yep. She has that joke about, man. She said, when you have a good man, you got to hide that motherfucker.
Everybody's fuck your man.
Best friend talking about, I'm going to drop over my shoes. Bitch, drop them in the yard and keep driving.
Cheryl is very funny. And again, if you're from Chicago, very nice.
So, what does she mean when at the end of her show back then, she will say, shout out to my man in blue. Was she like a police officer or to my guys in blue or something like that?
I don't know.
Was she like a police officer and she in the army or some part of fraternity?
I'm not sure. She is in the fraternity.
But then she probably meant it to them, yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, fool? When we first, the last time I saw you, well, I always see you, but you were at I don't know if you did Montreal Comedy Festival.
I never got a chance.
But there's no? You know, it's a shame, bro. Because, like, when I saw a recent Montreal, and they had Roy Woods Jr., and they had another guy that was an urban act, more like Def Jam kind of act. I think I forgot his name, man. But there was these two people that you'll never see them in the same show. Like, no one would put them in the same show. Roy Woods and that guy. He goes, nah, this guy's too dirty. This guy's too clean. But in Montreal, they were in the same show. I forgot his name. It was probably Rick Harris. I forgot his name, but he was in Montreal for the first time. Or Earthquake. It was Earthquake.
Earthquake.
First time in Montreal after all these years.
Yeah.
Movies, specials, tours.
Yep.
Probably already made $1 million. And he finally goes to. And also, Lunel was there. Lunel, Tiffany, and a bunch of other black females were hanging out in Montreal. And I was like saying, man, you know what? It's about fucking time.
Yeah.
That's how I felt when Melanie Camacho did your show in
Pasadena. She had never been to the Ice
House. Had never been to the Ice House in all her years of comedy.
Crazy.
That was sad. I couldn't believe that.
Because you have a lot of gatekeepers.
Yeah.
And if they don't like you, you don't get in.
It's weird when they don't like you, man. His name was Steve Lubetkin. That was the name of the comedian. That was Richard Lewis Red.
Yeah. That comic who killed himself, Just to clear that up.
What's up, boom?
I thought it was going to be.
So you have a book?
Yes. Behind the Laughter. Because so many people think the life of a comic is just always funny.
The hee-hees and the ha-has. Right.
Yeah. Joe Diaz said, remember the hee-hees and the ha-has. Sometimes, man, motherfucker, go to the room, eat a fucking sandwich, and put their fucking head down. Bro, I'm like, people don't know that. A lot of the, like, I mean, not to, like, put a kid into a dark side, but I heard from critical people, a lot of my time is spent not fucking trying to avoid killing myself for fucking 12 hours to the show. And look what Lunel said. We had Lunel, she said, you know, I don't understand a lot of comedians before the show. They let you go river rafting or fishing with the owner or a helicopter ride. What the fuck for? To break your ankle? You're going to save yourself for the show.
Yeah, man.
Well, like you said, like I forgot who was on the show. From Chicago, L.A., the store. You guys were talking about the road and hell. I know with me, I had to learn politics of the road. I had to learn the politics of hanging out with the headliner so you can get more work. And
all that stuff.
We were just talking about that last week.
It's well, yeah, that's what I was talking about.
We had that shit with Mike Young.
Yeah.
Mike Young. Yeah. It's a handful of unwritten rules you kind of like learn yourself, right. You know, as right. You go.
Because I don't drink, I don't smoke. And I was married, so.
What do you do?
He prays!
Right. Yeah. So then. It was just, right. I was just like, and then they would just go, oh.
We went to a yo yo convention.
Right. Because back then, you know, they were. In Chicago, they were paying comics by money, drugs, you know.
Hats.
Yes.
Hats. Or whatever. Sometimes even women, bro. Not for me, but. But what happened, you know, they'll send a woman over to rob your ass.
You know, a lot of comics were, you know, we had the condo, comic condo. And a lot of young comics would come with women. I would say, dude, this is our sanctuary. If you bring in somebody.
Bring me one.
My wife was listening. No. but I would say, look, I don't know if that girl has a boyfriend or if she just has somebody who's going, because everybody knew where we lived.
She might leave the door open.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Everybody knew we got paid on Sundays.
Yeah.
That town knows what goes on.
Right.
It's a setup right there.
Right. So I would just say, dude, don't bring anybody here. This is our sanctuary. This is where we can.
They stole Vic Dunlop's eyes. For real, though.
But you're looking out for yourself.
Let me tell you something, man. Speaking of that, like, we were at the Tampa Improv. And then we were all hanging out, you know. We were smoking weed. And then somebody came knocking. We didn't invite no one to the green room, to the right. condo.
Right.
No one.
Right.
But you, it was tapping. It was a bottle tapping the door, right? Who wants to party? And we all stood quiet like we were like if our dad left us alone. we took the lights up, bro. Stood quiet.
The Jehovah Witnesses
are here. Don't open the door. All right, see. I thought you got wanted to smoke.
Get the fuck out of here.
So we just stood quiet, bro. That fool left. Waited 3 minutes, started laughing, bro.
Dude,
how do you like? He was probably at the show, but knew that where the condo was.
Right. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
I did that, bro. I fucked up, eh?
Matt comes out.
I was bad, bro. And you know,
all is welcome.
I was by myself at the condo by myself. I think I was by myself in the condo, and man, I was partying all week. I don't know who. I don't know how many people I gave the code to the fucking concert. Right. When I left, they stole everything, bro. They stole the television.
How'd they take the TV when it was bolted to the wall?
They stole lighters.
Well, you know what? I did the improv in Dallas, and the place they put me at, there was no TV. And I was like, hey, man, there's no TV. Oh, you know. The crack dealers, you know. And I was like, so because whenever that happened, my mom always told me, slide the dresser drawer to the wall, to the door, so nobody could get in. And so I did that with a lot of condos. It was just because the club owner doesn't care what happens to you.
You don't care about curtains?
Right. Yes, yes. Toilet tissue.
I know, man. Or like sometimes, man, you chicken in and the last headline is still there.
Yes.
Talking about, well, I have a show on Wednesday, but it's Monday. Bro.
Right,
you
right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Oh, I thought I could just stay to it. Well, no, you know, you thought rocking out.
And one club, I never got to perform it. I mean, one after the first time because I had one towel. And I said, y'all, we need more. And I told the assistant, who was the lady, I said, look, I know you do. You have more than one towel because you're a woman. And I'm married. And my wife uses 500 towels. So I know I'm going to Walmart, get some towels, and you all are going to pay. And I never got to work there again. Because I was using my authority.
You were rebellious.
What club was this?
This was the Funny Bone in Ohio.
Sounds like Dayton.
Dayton?
sound like Laughs
I think
Comedy
it was like
Cafe
I
in
think
Tucson.
It was like, yeah.
Sound like Laugh Comedy Cafe in Tucson, where the manager and the waitress used to live in a condo too.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Imagine that. You got to wake up and see them. Are we all going to work together with a carpool?
So you met your wife while you were starting comedy in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And you worked for her. Well, she was your boss.
Right. She thought I was lazy. She hated me because I was going to college. I was working and I was doing stand up. So I was tired when I got home. I mean, got to work at 7:30, 8. And she, yeah, you just filthy. You probably out all night. Yeah. So I thought. Yeah.
She thought you were partying.
Yeah, she thought I was partying.
Chasing skirts.
Yeah. You know, we're just two different people. I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to come up.
when did you start headlining spots?
It was a while. It was a while. I think when I first...
Did college at NACA, all that stuff?
All that stuff.
Man, NACA, like, that's the worst, bro. I remember I did NACA, bro, after Last Comic Standing, and Josh Wolf was next to me, and he ran out of slips. I had to give him mine.
He ran out of booking slips.
He ran out of booking slips.
Really?
Bro, and I had to give him mine.
Oh, man.
I was just standing there, bro. And I was looking at my agent, can I go?
What am I doing here,
man? Well, there was a poster with me there and everything, bro. But there was comics in from LA trying to get guest spots. Like, trying to, like, get a fall-in. That's even more desperate,
guest
bro.
Spot
no poster.
Yeah.
No nothing. You're hanging out with Bobby Holiday. You know,
what are you doing?
Flappers.
Yes.
Barbara.
Yeah, but you know, I would do like 150 colleges. Because I worked with a group called Make Me Laugh. It was the TV show.
Make Me Laugh.
And we had noon shows and.
Oh, those are rough.
Yeah.
I hate those, man. Like,
cafeteria.
I remember doing it in San Antonio and going, man, so you're leaving? He goes, nah, I'm just buying a soda. And after we buy a soda, gets it. Opens it and go back and sit down. All
right. Like the vending machine is right next to you.
Yes.
Oh, really, man? We're going to have the show next to the vending machine? Why not next to the pizza? It's busier, at least.
Wait till you hear the blender.
You were done with food?
I did one time.
You?
Yeah, I did one once. I was on stage and I asked.
How about 100 like him?
Nah, I wish. I wish, man.
What's the worst college gig you did? Me?
All
in Berkeley. Berkeley, bro. $150, no room, nothing. We just drove and we got there. We didn't even know we were going to stay. He didn't know either. There was no microphone. It was a little lapel, bro.
Oh.
Dude, are you serious?
Yeah, man. I was like a little joint. But the next year, Gabriel Iglesias and Ernie G went. And then the guy told him, bro, he didn't get no same promoter. Still didn't get no rooms for the next year's show. So we're going to stay. Well, the last comedian, they hooked up, bro, and they ended up sleeping in somebody's house. Maybe you guys could go to the after party, you know? Bro, they didn't get nothing, bro. Some guy hooked them up, and they slept in the back of somebody's truck by their outside their house, and the guy gave them pizza boxes to cover themselves up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you know, being that my wife is a psychologist, she looks back and goes, all the comics, you all were abused. You know, we're trying to just get ahead, but she said, in the real world, that's not allowed. You know.
<yeah. laughs> So true, though.
But because we don't have a union, because we know if I don't do it, a comic behind us will do it for cheaper.
Jeffrey Peters will be there.
That's what always ruins any sort of movement is the fact that there's always a handful who's going to do it.
Phil Selman?
He'll do it.
Yeah, they'll do it. They'll find somebody.
Yeah.
Or they'll put a pool table in there and no live anything.
Karaoke.
That's the sad part.
But we don't understand, like a lot of young comics, like, oh, I should be out there headlining. You know, it's tough out there, bro, because, okay, so you're going to go out there headlining. Now this club owner has to convince the morning radio show and morning TV. Mm-hmm. And he don't have to convince. He has to lie to them and say you're somebody, so they can have you on the radio show, promote their show. And you know what? Even at my level, they'll say no. They'll say something like, "Oh man, we have a shootout. We're gonna cover that shootout instead, or an opening day. We're gonna cover this opening minor league game." Yeah.
Sorry,
but imagine, bro, you're nobody, and you know what? You know. You're going to have to go to that fucking mall and pass out flyer with the owner.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you don't want to do that, but you know, that's what you do at the Comedy Underground in Reno. And you're going to stay at the owner's house.
Welcome to Tahoe.
You know, these are the things you're going to do because you're you. Yeah. You're going to sleep at the owner's house. You're going to get up in the morning, go do press with him. You're going to do all his chores, pass out flyers,
There's nothing to market.
There's nothing, you know, and you're going to pass out free tickets all day.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
It sucks.
And you're going to go fishing with him. You're going to go hang. And it's a different, like he says, like comedy etiquette, like hanging out with a headliner for lunch to get more gigs. Sometimes, you're at a level where you're going to go hunting with the owner to get more gigs.
Damn.
And, like, when I asked, what's the name? Al Canal.
Yeah.
Give him Al Canal.
How
come the comedians keep coming back?
Because there's hunger out there. And if I can't give you $100, they will do it for $5.
Because
they keep coming back for less.
Yeah. And it's like, and you're like, God damn, you're talking about fucking the devalue. Jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is.
The cheapening of a trade.
Yep. Yep.
And then, you know, are those guys that are doing that, they're willing to do anything to headline, whether it's steal someone's material.
Looney bin and Comedy Works.
Just doing Looney shit bin. That's been done before. Just
and Colorado
like
Springs.
Bottom of the barrel.
Right.
And you see it. And they think people are dumb. But people know what they're going into, whether they're going to go to a special event or just another night.
Yeah. I go there for their wings.
Yeah. They give you two for one beer.
They do karaoke right after the show.
$1 Paps.
And that always sucks. Because you're trying, like you said, you're trying to be professional, and it's like
you're dealing with like sleazy car salesmen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, sometimes it can be disguised as nice people, but they're not.
No.
You know? Right.
And it's very few club owners that are really nice. Like the Comedy Magic Club.
Yeah.
Real nice guy.
I want to take him to WrestleMania.
Yes. He loved it. He loves WrestleMania, the Richard was the Richard. Booker. But if you go there, if you're with a friend, they'll say, "Hey, you want something to eat?" Versus other clubs will go, "No, we're not buying anything for you.
Where's the drink ticket?
You get one drink ticket."
Right.
But I need water.
But my wife is here.
She's thirsty, too.
Right.
Where's her drink ticket?
I saw you in a video. I thought it was a This Is Not Happening Comedy Central video when you were talking about your daughter and preparing for your tonight show and all that hell that was going through. I was like, God damn, it brought me to tears, man. I was like,
6 weeks?
Six weeks.
Yeah.
Did you write the whole bit word by word yourself, or just... Or did you improvise it one night and just...
No, it was good. It was at the Comedy Art Festival, Aspen, in the Moth as a storytelling service, and it was and they simply was up there. They were new, and they just said, "Hey, to the comics, tell us a story." And my daughter spoke to me and said, "Tell my story," because I never told anybody that I lost a daughter.
Yeah,
I just gave it to myself. But that night, my daughter said, "Tell my story," and I told that. And after 5 minutes, the narrator just said, "Okay, tell it live. Don't you know?" So all that I felt. That was the first time I ever told people.
Wow!
Wow! All that emotion.
Yeah.
Wow! Came out perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's funny because a lot of comedians can bitch about like, oh, you know, I got to go out here. I got to go work the road. You know, they never did a real job or something like that. And you have a lot of stuff in your head. Maybe your mom called. Yeah. Maybe your lady called. Yeah. But, I mean, this goes beyond that, like deeper into like the darkest pit of the universe of human life. And I was just like, wow. And then when you broke into that, got to be like Denzel Washington in a Training Day and buck your ass up. And I was like, wow, because it was out of your character. But I was like, dude, this came from the fucking heart.
You know, a lot of guys, Bill Burr was also telling a story. He has a story of, you know, growing Irish, you know, everything's hardcore. And if he cried, his father made fun of him. And I thought that that was very moving, because for an Irish guy to say, you know, I was crying and my father, he bought me a doll to make fun of me, all that stuff. It was like
little Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, man.
Well, I think a lot of comics, although they're not all honest with themselves and honest on stage like that, but a lot of comics, maybe later in their years, they do get like that. But a lot of comics hold that stuff in. But those guys, a lot of times, they grew up as the more sensitive kid, and maybe they didn't even realize it. You know, you were the more sensitive kid of your family. But you came from a
dress.
But you came from a, you know, very macho sort of dad and upbringing, that machismo.
Let's
stuff
move
and,
back to Anthony. No.
Why are you psychoanalyzing
me? No, I'm just saying, like, you know, you can see it. I mean, just because I know you very well, but you know, there are guys. Like, he ripped up your so this guy remembered your memory. Did he rip up your Thanksgiving mat?
Okay, like Inception over here.
Your dad ripped up your Thanksgiving mat, like something you created, you know, and it was heartbreaking for you. But it becomes podcast fodder, and everybody laughs at it. But anyway. But
gobble.
I don't believe in tears. That's all rain to me.
I think that's why comics are great dramatic actors, because they can do back
that
and
range.
Forth.
Yeah.
How long have you been acting?
All my life. I'm waiting for Scorsese to call. What's he waiting on?
You were in a Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Tales from the Crypt was. Not Tales from the Crypt. Yeah.
Tales from the Crypt, and he don't say no B words.
Yeah. Tales from the Crypt.
So there he was. It was Easter. She was holding her casket. No, basket. All right.
I bamboozled y'all.
All right. Yeah. So let's back up, though, for a second, because you just jumped into his daughter passing away. But you... you and your wife got married and you had a daughter.
Yes.
And she was diagnosed with Down syndrome first. That was the first kind of surprise in your lives together, yeah.
But it was cool because when I told my mom was cool. She said, okay, tell me what the doctor said. Said, well, she was born 7, 5 pounds. And my mom paused and said, well, you were born 5 pounds. Yeah, but the doctor said, you know, she's premature. And my mom said, you were premature. And I said, yeah, but the doctor said, well, she will be slow. And my mom paused and said, you didn't walk for 14 months. Just take your daughter home, love her, and let's see what happens. And I took off to the comedy clubs. They waitstaff would watch her while I was on stage. And so it was cool. And she could beat me because she wasn't walking, but she could crawl quicker than I would walk to the door. Yeah. So it was cool. And I didn't know who to gauge her by, because it was the only child. So,
yeah. And then, so the bigger tragedy, of course, was it happened a couple of years later then.
Yes.
Yeah. And she was diagnosed with leukemia?
Yes.
Yeah.
Leukemia.
Yeah.
And so it was Isaac's little sister, huh?
My son's father remarried, and I remarried, and his 2-year-old daughter. She had cancer pretty much the last year of her life, and she died at two years old.
Yeah.
Last time I remember her saying was, what?
Yeah.
They were watching a reality show and everybody was like screaming, oh my God, my God. And she didn't know what's going on.
Yeah, very
was,
similar situation.
What?
Except she didn't have Down syndrome, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the cancer's. I guess she's just more susceptible. Your daughter, because of the Down syndrome, that makes her more susceptible to certain health problems, right?
Yeah. And you know, I was on the road and my wife said, you know, she's sleeping a lot more. Mm-hmm. So we should go to the hospital. So as soon as I got home, we went right to the hospital, to Children's Hospital, and they said, how long has she been orange? She needs blood right now.
Wow.
So we gave her blood, but she went to a cardiac arrest. So and she's two, so she's fighting people and they're trying to stick her, and she's not screaming. And so we had to put her in a comatose.
Mm-hmm. Right. Medically induced coma,
Mm-hmm. Wow. And she's in that for like 3 months. And I still had to go on the road, pay bills and stuff.
Yeah, that's tough. Like, that's, we've seen comics, you know, like you were saying, there's something in your head, you know, when you're performing. And like Marcella, she performed the night that her dad died, you know, like that was...
She
drove from Modesto down to LA.
She's gotten a gig for the last 3 years on her dad's birthday too.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you went to work back on the road a week after your daughter died, right? How do you pull it out of you? And I mean, are you faking it on stage, or does your comedy take a hit? You did say your comedy started becoming more dark
point,
right?
Yeah, because especially the Tonight Show, they want. Like Jimmy Fallon, everything's clean.
Yeah.
Just goofy, just
happy.
Yeah. Right. And I really was not in the headspace for that. And the talent coordinator said, hey, you know, you need to pull it back. You need to smile more. And I was just, because I didn't tell anybody what I was, because I would do the show, Tonight Show, I would rush to the, Children's Hospital, because my wife and my daughter.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. And how long you do that for? For a while?
Yeah. It was for the second and the third time I was on Tonight Show. So she would see me, she would watch the Tonight Show with me. So she was confused because I was there.
Yeah.
And she would hear me on TV and she would go, hey. So, yeah.
What's going on?
Right, right.
I hear him.
Yeah. He's doing his voice.
My dad turned into a box.
Right. So, like, telepathy right here, man.
Right. Magic. So it was cool. But, yeah, and then afterwards it was like, hey, you do the show after she passed. You just try to do your show, and you know, you just do your show. Yeah.
You think it's easy? It's harder for a comedian to do his job that way. I think it's harder than to be going through all that stuff and still trying to be funny. Must be really fucking tough.
Of course.
Because I'm pretty sure if you're a plumber, man, you can plumb away.
Right.
It's kind of distracting, but you have to make people laugh.
You have to make people laugh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. But I think
unless
maybe...
they don't think you're funny anyway.
Yeah.
Next.
So, yeah, I mean, are you like on autopilot doing your act? Like
I'm
without any sort of emotion?
Without mentioning the daughter.
Yeah. Wow.
And how did your act change since then?
Yeah, because since then I've developed. I mean, not developed, but I have multiple sclerosis,
right.
Which is.
And that came after your daughter passed
yeah,
away.
Yeah, because they say MS comes out of trauma. Mm-hmm. Your body does something that it changed, and your immune system fights itself.
That happened to you, bro.
My
no,
mom.
No MSG, huh? Okay.
Oh.
He said, yeah, though.
He's not in on the lie, huh?
No, not that.
Okay.
I thought something like bad, and I had to go on stage. It was just like
something bad happening, and then going.
Yeah.
But you still, I mean, so MS compared to a child's death is, if anything, that has everything is when that's it. I got a cold. I lose my house. I lose my car. That's it. It pairs in comparison.
Shit, man. Yeah. Michael Jordan fucking playing with the flu and scored an 85 point. They shit to compare with what Anthony went through, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Every night, bro. Gotta be funny. Go back to the comedy condo.
Just turn it on.
Hopefully yeah.
One towel.
Right. What? that can be a movie, One Towel. Yeah. Nas, the mic, one mic, one time. Yeah.
So did you guys find yourselves, as far as after your daughter's gone, yeah. right, you have a different relationship now, right? I'm sure it impacted your marriage.
Well, we definitely, usually with couples, it either broke you up, split you up, because you won't think about it. Because when I see her, I'm thinking of, so you just try to create a whole new life, mm-hmm. or it'll just make you much stronger.
You know, it's funny you say that about what, you know, like that, as you compare it to your daughter. But I remember when I had a baby mama, man, and my son had a flu, and I would look at her, man, we ain't gonna last.
The stress of it, right, just like right, tearing right. apart,
the
just
stress
that little
of it, right? Because he had an earache, bro. He was screaming. This bitch didn't know what to do. There was no Google.
Oh, I'm about to fall out of this.
Right.
This bitch is over there like.
There was no Google.
She got a fucking safety pin put in a diaper. What the fuck is that going to do?
Right.
She thought it was a full moon.
Oh, she's doing like witchcraft.
Witchcraft
and stuff.
Shit, dog.
Wow.
And it goes, her mom told her.
Then her stupid ass aunt from Mexico, from El Paso, didn't circumcise him. We got to get him circumcised.
When someone going to write this?
Give me the fucking scissors, bitch. I walked out of that house, bro.
These are your relationship skills. Give me much to look forward to.
I don't do good with heartache, bro. I'm the kind of person like. Did you ever at one point feel like walking away? Like this is too
or like
much?
Giving up? Yeah, giving like up. Just like stopping.
No, because
the pain could be crushing. I mean, yeah, it's debilitating.
Yes, for my wife, because I didn't know until I read the book. I mean, wrote the book that she had. Contemplated suicide.
Yeah. Right, because the way the book is structured, it's back and forth, your story, your side of the story, and her side of the story in each chapter, right? Like.
So I always read her stuff to find out about her. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know. There's a lot of stuff I didn't know about her that I would go, oh.
It's funny how when, like, I know in your book that in the black community, and even I know the Latino community, you're not allowed to be a nerd, without thinking people you're white.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's no nerds. There's no Mexican nerds, bro, where you call fucking nerd. It's always like, oh, he shouldn't be white. Why? Because I don't like Arnabo.
Right.
I don't like the low
but rider. I do Arnabo.
Because I don't like the fucking low rider lifestyle. It's a fucking waste of time.
I do like low riders.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
People tell you were white cause just because you spoke differently.
But you know, because in the black world for comedy, everybody wanted to be
Red Fox,
Richard Pryor,
yeah,
Eddie Murphy, Red Fox. So you just want to do impressions. Right? That's how they were.
The man of many voices.
Right.
Michael Winslow got that stuff too. He got that sort of attitude too. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? Like he's a weird kid.
Yes.
You know, keep him over in the corner.
Like Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
Growing up. And doing his comedy in Anthony's age, would have been, oh, he white.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's dark, but he white.
He's doing the, what is it, the intellectual comedy or whatever you call it. Yeah.
Trying to make us think.
And that's, right. And that's what some brothers would say to me, you know, if they had been high. You know, you trying to do all that intellectual. So I'm just trying to just be funny. I'm Billy Silly. I want to do impressions of Michael Jackson, John Wayne, and they just.
Like if you look at any picture, there's no nerds, bro, that are Latino, bro. Because if you're a nerd, you're white or you're gay.
Mm-hmm. What if you're both?
Nerdo. El Putito.
So what in your what helped you guys in your relationship? Like, or it, was it just natural because of your love being strong already? What helped you guys keep your relationship
it took time,
together?
Yeah. You know, because we were.
Did you turn on each other different times?
No, it's just.
You just kind of held it in.
We were like zombies. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can still do a lot of stuff just by remote. Reflex, mm-hmm. You're not really thinking, mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't hear the birds or the singing or the smell of the roses because we were just going through life, mm-hmm. Just not really.
Not enjoying life
at
all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isaac's stepmom spent the whole 2 years in the hospital.
Yeah,
right?
My son's stepmom. And we all get along. We're all cool with each other. But she spent a whole year and a half in the hospital with her daughter, 24 hours.
I thought it was so kind of sad, you know, that that little girl, all her friends were hospital people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That she never had friends outside. I thought that was very sad.
Yeah. I mean, my son dwells on it. He's 14. And he dwells on certain things. Like, she never got to go to school and make friends. She never got to do this.
Well, that was
very sad.
That was one reason that... my wife got into the field she did because while we were in the hospital a lot, it was certain kids that their parents were never there because their parents had to work. So they would just be going through this stuff all by themselves. So,
is that in your book, the book you wrote?
Yeah.
Yes.
And where people find that book? Is it Audible?
Oh, do we have a...
You can find it at. Is that my wife?
Yeah.
You can.
She's handing us a physical copy so we can show it.
Titled Behind the Laughter?
Yes.
You can get it at Amazon, right?
Yes.
And it's on Kindle or audio too, right? Did you,
yes.
Did you record a version?
Yes.
You did it? Cool. And then Bridge did it too? You guys both did it? No? She didn't do her part?
What's up with all this writing? Why ain't you got no pictures in here? Behind the Laughter.
And that's out now, right?
They don't even rhyme.
It's out now?
Yes.
Came out today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, a comedian's tale of tragedy and hope.
Is it Audible yet?
It is Audible.
Who's reading it?
You are?
Yeah, he said.
No, not me, because she didn't read.
Yeah.
So I felt I shouldn't read it. But we got to... Two actors.
A man and a woman doing your parts.
Yeah. But it's funny because in the audition, the producer, the publisher was just sending us white guys. And we're going, because it would be an old white guy going, because I would listen, I'd go, he sounds like an old white guy. And then I would go, oh, it's an old white guy.
That would be funny. And then I was in the South Side.
Right. He would talk like that.
Yeah.
I was like, we need some color because we did, you know,
to bring some flavor to
right,
it.
PC, and then it was a brother. Yeah, so I told up. No,
yeah, you know, I mean, we're
change your what is it, honey? East to East, right?
Is that right here?
Your TH to F.
Yeah. 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 You're
my
audible.
My
North, South.
Oh, that's my other audible.
Right, no.
Start playing.
Who is that man?
Here it is, man. You can get it on Audible, man, for. Oh, I got credits. It's going to cost me $7.47.
You got credit.
$7.47 or one credit.
I can't listen to Audible.
Or $21.42, man. If you don't have Audible, I have Audible. So, yeah, I got it right here, man.
So it's several platforms, Audible, reading, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Where's the battery for this?
Tonight's Show. It's a stand-up comedian from Chicago. Now I was on my spot. Red light atop the camera was on.
I like this actor. Every comic's dream.
Huh?
I like this actor in your book. Oh, it's perfect. You lost a straight jacket?
No, he wanted
I was a nerd. I wasn't. I wanted to be Houdini.
That's tight.
What? So I had
a. It's funny, man.
I had a straight jacket.
Dude, I wanted to be a cop, and my mom found an old ass wallet, and she ripped everything up, but left a little place where you put the fucking
the badge,
the
ID in, and she made me a fake badge, and she put it right there, and she put my name on top, bro.
Oh, that's cool, man.
I think,
that's
I
cool.
Think,
bro, I used to walk up to motherfuckers like, "What's up?"
I think your mom probably wanted you to be a cop, dog. Sergeant Esparza.
I would have been a badass cop, bro. I'd be fucking up trolls all day.
That's all Mexican cops
right.
do.
Because you know where the drugs is at. I know where they are.
Bro, you know if I was a cop, you know what cholo had let go because they have broken elbows, bro.
Beating them with that little metal stick.
Right, right. But yeah, I wouldn't be an escape artist.
Because you said you wanted to be a magician. And then when you found out Johnny Carson wanted to be that magician, you felt like, yeah.
Right.
What's yeah. it with the magician too, bro?
Which one?
The one we had here, the comedian.
Oh, Jimmy Schubert.
Jimmy Schubert, yeah.
See, so I thought I was on the right path. And I would take my
the maestro.
My my straight jacket to show and tell at school. I got straight jacket. Everyone seemed to get out. And people just go. Riff, what's up?
What's wrong with you?
Right.
But it's funny when the mind is not used to like imagination and letting it go. People yes. are all tightened up going, what the fuck are you doing here?
But you know what? It gets squashed though too if you're not careful. That kid could have, his dreams yeah. could have been squashed yes. by that. Well, you know?
Let him express it.
Yeah. Time, I told him, I'll just be an accountant.
I was laughing and then some dude goes, "What are you laughing at, bro? You don't know, bro? Today is Mo Howard's birthday, bro. You know, from the Three Stooges? Who the fuck cares, homie?" And he punched me in the chest, dog. And that fuck went, yuck, yuck, yuck.
Take that. Ooh,
ooh. Oh, man. So, my mom was always cool, and she allowed me, because it was lip syncing before lip syncing got big. So if I was Michael Jackson, my mom was the Jackson 5. If I was James Brown, my mom was the Jackson 5. She only had one thing.
Artist for the show business. Put his cape on.
But then, as a teenager, I had a straight jacket, and I was
with a real straight jacket.
It was a real one.
Fuck.
And somebody stole it on the bus, right?
Yes. Straight up.
Yes, someone stole it.
You think you're crazy?
Who steals a straight jacket?
Someone that needs it like me.
But then you asked your stepdad for another one, right?
Yeah, and he was...
He was like, "What do you need another straitjacket right.
yeah.
for?"
Hell no, man.
What do you mean?
Because he didn't want me to have one. No, we had
one. Fucking two.
Stupid. Right, he was... No.
But that's creative. I wouldn't know where to get my son a straitjacket.
My mom
he asked
called,
me for crazy stuff, but...
Insane Asylum.
Oh, really?
She called and said, "Hey... my son wants a straitjacket," and they were going, "If this has to be true, because who calls the insane asylum except a mom?"
That's what I would do.
A straitjacket for.
Where can I sign one for my son?
I know that your mom always trying to sign you up to different things that were not like from the hood, you know. Like,
yeah,
I love that story you said about the Boy Scouts. Because man,
yes,
we were living in the projects.
Yes,
we had a Boy Scout. We had one meeting, and at that the first meeting, half of the people that were in the Boy Scout got kicked out, like half for cursing,
right.
being dicks.
They I
were
hated.
Fired, and then our it was funny because our fucking Boy Scout master was a guy from El Salvador. And every time he talk, he'll tell you like to stop it. Vos para le vos, like vos, right? He keeps saying vos.
It's a different.
And then my brother got kicked out. Said, "What the fuck? Yeah, we're in the Boy Scouts or the Vos Scouts?" and you got kicked out right
That's
there,
a
bro.
Play on
my. I hated Boy Scouts because everybody except my friend were gangbangers. So I was like, you know, that the scoutmaster was terrorized. They would say, "Hey, you guys need to put on your man." Shut up.
They took over the meetings.
They took over. So it was boring. I was the only one who wear a uniform.
You showed up with all your flair.
You tied your knots.
Right, I had all.
Your little scarf.
Yes. I was the only one. All of them were just thugs. They all had two strikes. I was like, come on. This was not fun.
Wow. Over there trying to be a Boy Scout at 19.
Right. And, your badges were for fake stuff, right? Like, you didn't do anything for the badges, right?
Right. We had a cooking badge, American badge, all that stuff that we didn't do anything.
You didn't even go camping or nothing, huh?
No, because
hiking? No, no, you're lost.
No.
Can't have nice things.
Right.
Yeah, man.
They ruined it for everybody.
The Boy Scouts, they never went anywhere, man.
Yeah. Yes.
And when they went camping, my brother snuck in the bus and went too. Like, he was not even supposed to go. But he snuck in the bus.
Now they have to deal with this.
Went too. And he's acting like a fool over there. But he said he had fun, though. He said, what happened?
Yeah.
He goes, man, did the guy cook hot dog? Fuck no, bro. He cooked a cup of noodles. So he got a big pot and boiled water and passed around a little cup and filled it up with water. But no hot dogs. No hot dogs.
The ghetto scouts.
Right. So I would always hear about white Boy Scouts and they're doing this. And they'd go like, oh, man, that's cool, but... Not in the city.
Man, they are whittling over there. I'm not whittling anything.
They're all dressed
here.
Like Teddy Roosevelt. Huh? Right. Start fire. It's
weird, man. Like in a project, like if they teach karate, no one's going to wear karate suits.
Yes.
So
yes.
You go to every tournament with sweats.
Yes. Yes.
Wearing your mom's biker shorts.
He's a black belt. Nah, he was using that belt to hold up his pants.
Well, they're like blood sport, huh?
I have a friend that, white guy. He went to college. He said the brothers that went to college took up fencing, and they were in the air sweats. It's like, come on, man. You're supposed to wear the
mesh.
No. I ain't doing it.
My mom didn't pay the fee. All right, we got to wrap it up, but I don't want to cut this short.
You have dates coming up?
No.
who's gonna Irvine?
But you're pushing your book. It's on
pushing
sale
your
now.
Book?
Yes.
Yes. That's what he's
May 1st.
Right now. May 1st.
Laugh Factory.
Laugh Factory. Okay. Right. Yeah, you show up at the Laugh Factory a lot in Hollywood. So yes. People go down there and see him. Yeah.
Come back in 2 weeks, he told me.
Did he?
Nah.
My
first time I performed there, he told me to come back next week and perform again. But I told him, Jamie, I have a TV show. I got to tape a TV set. He goes, well, I come back again later. So I never came back. And one time I came back, he goes, I don't see you making it for another 7 years. And that shit hurt my feelings, bro. And then I was so sad. I talked to Alonzo Bowling, man, don't worry about that, man. One time he told me that I should put on shoulder pads and a football uniform, and I should be the football comic on stage. And then I told Brad Williams the same story because I was sad, and Brad Williams said that he should get all the little people he can find.
This is Jamie's advice.
Yeah, to Brad Williams, get all the little people he can find, and we'll have a big comedy show for the little people. We'll call it the biggest little comedy show in Hollywood history. So when I won Last Comic Standing, and we had Jamie Masada on the show, I said, "Remember, Jamie Masada? You said it's going to take me 6 to 7 years to make it. You're full of shit, man. It took 12."
You know, that's why I never get in the store, because Mitzi was like, you know, you should do this. And I was telling her, I'm already comic. I'm just trying to get to San Diego.
I don't need to change my act or my theme.
Yeah, but you've already got material. Yes, I'm just trying to get to San Diego. I don't have to dress in purple. You don't have to do this. I'm just trying to get to San Diego.
But you need to change your last name.
Yeah. I'm trying to open for Frank Manzano.
Put some sunglasses on and a cane.
Right.
She told Daryl Middleton, D-Middleton,
D-Middleton,
change his name to what?
Oh, I forget.
Scruffy Johnson.
Something like that. It was something like a Slappy White sort of style.
It'd be funny if you change your name to Scruffy Johnson.
Yeah.
But my name is Scruffy Johnson.
My name's D.
Right,
so
right.
I told her whatever, right? And then so I kept performing all week, right? He kept performing all week, and then she called him back. I thought you were going to change your name. I'm not going to change my name. Then you ain't going up at D-Middleton.
Crazy.
Damn.
How about Carlos Mencia played games and he changed his name to
Carlos Mencia for her.
What's his real name?
Nelson Holden.
Ned something, yeah. What is it?
Ned Horton.
Ned Holden jokes. Yeah. Ned Holden.
Ned Holden. Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool, you know. Really? Horton. On Honduran and German.
Yeah.
Would you have told that the real name? Real name is Frank Salarino.
Henry Gutierrez Jr.
But you are the real Anthony Griffin. Right? Yeah. Yo, Twitter or Instagram, people can follow you.
Yes.
Get the book.
Twitter, Mr. Laugh a Lot.
Mr. Laugh a Lot.
Yes.
All one word. What's that? Instagram. Same thing. Mr. Laugh a Lot. Comedian Anthony Griffith on Instagram. That's all one word.
Okay, and Mr. Laugh a Lot.
And Mr. Laugh a Lot on Twitter.
What's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
Thank you for being our guest, man. Thank you, man. Love to have you back.
I'm glad to see you other than at the mall.
Yeah, man.
Hanging out. You know, we don't even have time to hang out anymore at the mall.
You gonna plug your dates, Felipe?
Oh, yeah, oh, you got dates. I forgot to. We were talking.
All right, man. I'll be in San Diego the Saturday, April 13th.
This Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday, April 13th. I'm doing a Spanish show. Otra vez, va a ser en español. Llegale. Tacoma, Washington, April 18th through the 20th. It'll be Tacoma Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. Best thing about that club is the green room. They have 5 drawers. Each of them has snacks. Los Angeles, April 26th, doing a set on the Kevin and Beans April Foolishness. This will be Beans' last day in L.A. Albuquerque, New Mexico, Isleta Resort, April 27th. Lincoln, California, Thunder Valley Casino. I'll see everybody there from Weed, California, from Eugene, Nevada,
Sacramento
Eugene,
area,
Portland,
yeah.
Sacramento area. See you guys there. This is the closest I'll be near Sacramento because the fucking Punchline Sacramento playing games.
What's wrong with this?
What I gotta do to get booked over there? How many sweaters I gotta wear?
All buy right. A purse. Viva Los Jokes, May 14th. We'll be back.
English?
English, yeah. Right. And that'll be May 14th, Riverside at the Live Arts Center. Check out Yeah Man Podcast. Thank you so
Johnny?
Much, Anthony.
I'm John Roque.
Thank you so much.